This broadcast is a weekly discussion about getting back to the garden. We will host guests to talk about how humans can be more loving in our present culture and how we can be safe people to be around when talking about spiritual topics. We examine spiritual questions from the worldview of God and the views of those seeking to learn about God. This show is to guide us all back to the garden. I am the producer, Colin Reynolds, and now here's your host, Barbara Moore.
Hey, don't you think we have to get back into the garden? How many of you are wanting to get into the garden today? I have Colin and Bridget here with me today in this garden. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm ready to get into the garden.
Me too.
Yes.
And the listeners are like, what's up with this woman who keeps talking about the garden?
The garden where it all started.
Huh? Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, because in Genesis, God said, it's a foundation scripture for this show, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Mm-hmm. So how can we be people in Metro Denver who help to get God back into people's garden? The title of today's show is that there's three gods in the garden. Three gods in the garden here in Metro Denver. So let's take a look at culture today, the spiritual culture in Metro Denver. And we're going to explore some belief systems. That one being a person who has a belief in a higher power. The second one being people who have belief in the secular, or we could say they're secular humanists. And the third, people that have belief in the God of the Bible, who is personal and often quite talkative. So how do each one of these belief systems add or subtract to the fact that the garden is for people to live in and to be very good? Mm-hmm. Do all the gods, these three gods we're going to talk about today, do they all add very good or good to Metro Denver, which we'll call our garden where we live? And I think that if we're going to be out among people, we have a definition in our heart of what good is.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be really careful when we try to define or put down what other people think good is.
Right. Very true.
So our heart today for you listeners is that God will do a work in all of our hearts, that when we approach another human being that is made in the image of God, mm-hmm. in the likeness of God, that we would have respect for them and honor and love. When we would make more friends, mm-hmm. we would respect them as we're becoming known by another person, and we mm-hmm. get to know them. So what is good? Well, good is an adjective. It's something that's desired or approved of. It's a particular quality. It's a particular role. As a noun, which often the people of the God of the Bible can so fast go to this place, we can say it's moral right and it's virtue and it's integrity. And people who have the God of the Bible would sometimes, again, try to superimpose what they believe is good upon another person before they even look in the eyes of the other person mm-hmm. or their heart.
Yeah, it's like reading a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. It's exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you have to know who you are in God to have that relationship, because I know for myself, when I'm, you know, doing my part and communicating and having that personal relationship, then I'm comforted and confident in who I am, and I'm not threatened by other people. I don't take things personally, so therefore I can speak with people. I can say hello to a stranger. I can smile, and, you know, because I'm thinking of a different way, you know, and thinking of love, and that everybody is here for a reason, and it's you know, I have my way, they have their way, and so I shouldn't be threatened. It should be inviting, because I love to learn different things and different people, and so it brings out the best in you when you do reach out and not threatened by other people, because, you know, we're all different.
That's very good. So I actually worked in some detox centers, and I'm going to read an article by a woman who was trying to get out from under being so oppressed. And so I just want to share with you a true story that a person wrote about a life that didn't include any God, higher power. She only had horizontal relationships. This became her vertical relationship, as I like to say, bringing a higher power back home. I was at another important turning point in my recovery. And as I began the process of taking the power greater than myself out of the room of recovery and unifying with its own intrinsic nature, my whole identification shifted. It shifted the false beliefs I held about myself being broken, unworthy, fearful, and shameful to wholeness. We come to the realization of our worth and magnificence because of the nature of the higher power, God, universal presence, or whatever you choose to call it, because yes, we are one with it. And if we are one with it, then we must be the reality of who we are as well. I remember how difficult it was for me to try to pull God out of the sky and connect it to my own being. Conceiving God and myself as one felt foreign and hard to grasp, as it is for most people, especially those of us who were raised believing in a reticent, moody, judgmental, and unforgiving higher power. There are those like myself at first who don't even feel worthy of saying they're one with God. They feel blasphemous on the beliefs they grew up with. So here is an expression of a person that, because they went through the 12 steps that helped them not to feel worthless, they have engaged now with this higher power that's an impersonal God. And one of the things that I have known people and walked with people that have this God. Thinking of a person that actually comes to my home once a week and believes in a higher power. And I know her. I mean, I look at her. She's a friend of mine. And so when I engage with her about what is her spiritual life like, I'm looking in her eyes while she's telling me about this. So what I want for all the listeners and us is that if we have the very sacred opportunity for another human being to actually trust us enough to say anything about what gets them by every day outside themselves, that we would be so humbled, like God was standing with them and with us, that it's not just mumbo jumbo that someone is sharing. I believe in a higher power, or as this person was switching names of deities in their desire to be better, to feel more whole. That's a sacred thing. So how can we get that type of garden in our own heart? If somebody wants to say to us, after we know them a little bit, oh, I just went to my meeting on the higher light, or how do we approach the people when they say that to us?
It's hard. You know, I think it goes back to what Bridget was talking about also, about just opening up to people. How you just mentioned, like, someone telling you about what they're going through type of thing. And it all comes down to opening up and not worrying about judgment. Just like you two have already both said, but it's just, I'm kind of piggybacking you, but it's really important. If you have an open heart, that's when God works. At least that's what I see.
Well, this is Got to Get Back to the Garden talk show. And one of the places that you can learn about having spiritual conversations with people is on our website, harvestmountainministries.org. And the ministry that I've been learning from for over 3 years is qplace.com, the art of asking spiritual questions. And what it does when you learn these arts, the first one is to notice. So you notice people without even speaking. You notice people. You don't need to speak right away. You can notice people. Then from noticing, what can flow is praying for somebody. And you don't have to pray in their face. You can, again, be more, as I would call, chilled out.
Yeah.
Dial down, chill out. You know, you can just, whew, just notice a person, and then you can pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm not sure. What do you know? I don't know this person, God. You know them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God would tell you, this is a person that believes in a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then don't go to the J place and, you know, start praying whatever.
Yeah.
It's a human mm-hmm. being.
Right.
And that's where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so notice them, pray for them. And then if you have the opportunity that they would speak to you
mm-hmm.
somehow beyond fixing the back fence,
right,
then we have to have that ability to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the real DNAs of this show is to help me and you and the listeners
mm-hmm.
become better listeners.
That is very important.
Because in order to have spiritual conversations today, I believe with all my heart, mm-hmm. mind, and soul, we must become better listeners.
Agreed. It's kind of funny, real quick, how you said, you know, noticing people. Isn't it funny when you're in a situation like maybe on the campus? I know you do some work down there. And just random people do just stand out to you. They just stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, pray for them. Like, I found it fun to secretly pray for people. Even if they're not believers, pray they become a believer. Or just anything. Lord, please let this person have a good day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just anything. And it's funny because I hadn't gotten to the point of listening. And so that point that you just made really hit home for me, because sure, it's great to pray for these people, but am I really listening to what they have to say? Maybe that's the only way to really help them. So.
Right, yeah. And I think being, I call it God conscious, you know, at all times, which I can't say that I always am, but I find when I'm more in tune, then I'm more aware of people. And I am watching and listening, and because I believe the Spirit will tell you, you know, what person it is that is being guided to connect with you in some kind of way. And I had that happen last week. And as the young man was speaking, I just was listening and asking God to help me continue to listen really well, so that I wouldn't just be another voice or just, you know, speaking just words in his life, but really listening and being able to hear him and know what to say to him. Because if I'm not hearing him, then I'm just speaking my own mind and giving my own opinion.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That kind of gets back to, you know, the show is called Three Gods in the Garden, and people can have horizontal
mm-hmm.
spiritual relationships, or they can have horizontal and vertical spiritual relationships.
Mm.
So if a person, which I'm going to talk mm-hmm. about next, secular humanist, what does it mean to live a life as a secular humanist? And we have many people. We'll also look at relativism in the next number of weeks, but
mm-hmm.
many people that are secular, and people can sound so haughty when someone says to us,
mm-hmm.
I'm secular. I don't believe in supernatural. So let's take a look at, you know, you mm-hmm. just expressed mm-hmm. your faith
mm-hmm.
and you were going vertical right away. So
mm-hmm.
so let's look at two different expressions of people in our community that believe in secularism. There's actually a Colorado secular humanist organization. There are people that go mm-hmm. to their address.
Mm-hmm.
They have gatherings. They have meetings. They watch mm-hmm. movies. They know each other. And again, we could just, we want to open our heart and say, so what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't know what it means to be a secular humanist. And I think if we're going to talk spiritually with people, it would be nice if we just knew a little bit. It's a social science. When trying to describe religious life, usually we have belief, mm-hmm. behavior,
mm-hmm.
and belonging.
Hmm.
So religion generally involves one, two, or three of those things to varying degrees, depending on your tradition. So by belief, people usually mean belief in a supernatural being or entity, such as a god, gods, spirits, angels, demons, yin and yang, non-empirical things that they say you cannot verify any realms such as heaven or hell. And as for behavior, we mean things like rituals, prayer, holiday celebrations, fasts, feasts, confessions, bar mitzvahs. What does it mean to be secular? A again, I want us to listen to this with our heart right now, mm-hmm. because maybe we're going to meet somebody this week mm-hmm. that we know,
right?
That we don't really know what they believe or how they, mm-hmm. what is in their soul that gets them going every week, that keeps them going. So a person that's secular, let's listen with honor, is a person that does not believe in supernatural beings, entities, or realms. They don't engage in religious behaviors. A person does not identify as religious and is not a member of a religious community. To be secular means you believe in the natural. You look at evidence, which is scientific. It's this worldly. That's what a secular person believes in. But then I think this is the really, really important part of this article. A secular person does not mean that one lacks belief. Secular folks believe in all sorts of things. Their children, their spouses, education, science, protecting the earth. And their life is rife with beliefs, but none of them are supernatural, deities, creatures, or realms. Mm-hmm. That is their reality. That's right. What's in their soul. That's what's in the people that they hang out with. But it also goes on to say that it's not that they never go to anything religious. They could go to have Christmas morning, mm-hmm. a Passover Seder, a spiritually infused yoga session. But sometimes when they're doing religious things, it's just because they like the food. It makes your partner happy or your in-laws. So it's not that if you're secular, they in, you know, again, in Metro Denver, there's many secular people. Mm-hmm. They're engaging. They know people are having Christmas. But what is the attitude of our heart towards people that maybe we don't know yet? And then they would say to us, oh, I'm secular, or I'm a secular humanist. Do we look like we just sucked a lemon when they tell us?
Probably.
Well, you know what? Yeah. No, I'm being honest, right. Because, mm-hmm. you know, God has so worked in me since 2006 to that I'm out among people as I'm doing my urban farming that are foodies, greeners, mm-hmm. Many people that believe in higher powers. What is the expression on our face that people could notice, mm-hmm. is the expression of really what's in our heart. If someone were to say to us, you know, I got so annoyed today because this person was talking about angels and everything, and I don't believe in angels. You know, mm-hmm. I belong to the Colorado Secular Humanist Society, and we just watched this movie about how to get any belief about God, you know, out of our children. Mm. So how are we going to relate to an encounter like that? I mean, what we were supposed to be prepared,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be prepared in life to love our neighbor,
yeah.
mm-hmm. to be out among people, out of the holy bubble, mm-hmm. out of the holy bubble,
and bring them into the holy bubble, right?
Well, no, we don't need to bring them into the holy bubble. We just need to have relationships with people. You know, I don't think that we have to automatically try to be dragging people to church.
Well, yeah, right. You're right.
Because it doesn't work. It never has, really. And, you know, and it's funny that you bring that up, because the person that I had this experience with last week that I met, it was the very thing. He was saying how he didn't believe, and you know, and that he was, you know, what you would call secular.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, and we exchanged, and we've talked since then, because I'm not judging him. I'm, you know, just listening and not condemning and not throwing the Bible at him and saying you should believe in blah 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 blah. You know, and it's like, no, that's not what we need to do. And we do that. Unfortunately, we do. We judge. And before they can even know or see the love of God through us, we've already condemned them, and they're often running in a different direction.
So the other term that I use quite a bit with people is spiritual chips. Mm-hmm. So friendship evangelism, I mean, if you haven't been living under a rock, you probably know what friendship evangelism is, and hopefully you're practicing it, which is, again, getting to, you know, to choose to spend time with people outside of just having Christian friends, right. to get to know people. Mm-hmm. So do you have chips with this person? Do they know you? Like, do you know them quite a bit, this person you're having this conversation with? Or Is it?
It was a complete stranger. At
oh,
first,
okay, okay.
So, but now we have, you know, a friendship.
Okay.
And so yeah, so it. I met him at a bus station. Actually, he's waiting for a bus. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that I could strike up a conversation with anybody. I mean, but you're waiting at a bus stop, so if you have kindness in you, then you can just be a good neighbor and be a nice bus stop person with another person and get to know them a little bit, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, just like I said, just smile and just be aware of your surroundings and just, you know, just be approachable, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and I feel like I try to be approachable everywhere I go so that people aren't intimidated and they will talk to me and you know, just kind of share their souls. And that's kind of what happened. And it was funny because he started the conversation by saying, oh my goodness, he goes, run from those people over there because they are trying to get people to go to church and, you know.
Oh, well, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like fly on the wall.
Yes. So it was very interesting and very just, you know, it just made me smile. Just, yes. Yeah.
So we don't need to speed date people, I like
no,
to say. So,
yeah.
So let's go back to, though, these secular humanist people. There's many of them. You know, there's three gods in the garden we're just talking about in Metro Denver here at Gotta Get Back in the Garden talk show. And I was watching television about a month ago, and this woman called Wendy Thomas Russell was on, and she wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book is Relax, It's Just God, How and Why to Talk to Your Kids About Religion When You're Not Religious.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
She spent since 2011 trying to figure out how to talk to your kids about religion when you're not religious. But I have to read this because it's a funny story, just like you just told me. This is a funny story. So here's Wendy sharing from her book in the introduction. Talking openly with children about sensitive subjects is hard. It's always been. In my parents' generation, the three-letter taboo word was S-E-X. My sister was 13. When Dad gave her the talk, he threw her the sex ed book and said, read it, don't do it. Well, luckily, she says, things have changed. Discussing sex isn't so scary now. Well, not quite as scary. Many parents have more trouble, though, talking with their kids about sex than they used to. But progressive thinkers have a way of replacing certain taboos with others. And today, for many great parents, there is a new three-letter word, G-O-D. My daughter Maxine was barely 5 when she piped up from the back seat on the way home from preschool one day. Mommy, you know what? God made us. I felt like a cartoon character being hit in the head with a frying pan. My heart was racing, and I'm sure I began to sputter. Visions of Darwin and the evolving ape man ran through my mind, followed closely by my childhood image of a big guy upstairs in a white robe. I could not speak. And in the awkward silence that followed, I was forced to confront the truth. The idea of talking to my kid about God, and more specifically about religion, scared the bejesus out of me. Well, Wendy went on to say that her daughter kept looking at her when she was talking, and she was like, Ma, duh, who is God? I mean, she's in preschool. And so the husband said, well, don't worry about that she's asking about God. That doesn't matter. It's just who she's going to be when she grows up. It caused Wendy to write this book about how secular people would even address religious subjects with their children. So we'll write about that on the website, harvestmountainministries.org, if you'd like to take a look at that book to see how would you engage with secular human people on the planet with love, with safety, and keep the spiritual conversation going and don't shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should pray now that because we've been talking about our hearts and how to have a softer heart, not sound like a clanging gong when we meet with people to have spiritual conversations. So, Father, we thank you that you have called us. You have put us in charge of this command to love our neighbor as ourself. We ask that you would remove all sandpaper in our hearts, Lord, all beliefs that we have that people that are out among us, who are made in your image and likeness, are worthy of our conversations, are worthy of our love, are worthy that we should engage with them moment by moment. Would you open up divine appointments with us, Lord, so that we can meet with new people to get to know them and love them. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hope you enjoyed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed Gotta Get Back to the Garden, and tune in next week. We're going to look at the God of the Garden that's personal. The God of the Garden that's personal, and he's talkative. And one of my favorite subjects to talk about is that God does actually speak.
So he does.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the God that's horizontal, person to person, and very vertical.
Wonderful, yeah.
So did you guys have fun?
I did.
Definitely.
I did. I enjoyed it. Yes, and learned a lot, too.
See, exactly. Yes. You have such a unique perspective on things that every time we're in here, you know, I learn something. I'm just happy that I get to be producing you. I get paid to listen to Barbara Moore teach me. Like, this is awesome.
That's a blessing, yes.
Yeah, so again, we'd like you to tune in next week because we want you to learn about this third God in the garden, which is the one, the God of the Bible, that made the garden and made it very good. He's talkative. He's personal. And what do you know about him? How do you know how to speak about this God of the garden that is talkative, personal, the God of the Bible that made everything and made it very good? We want to encourage you to talk about spiritual things with others in a safe way so you can keep the conversation going and not have it shut down. See you next week, and have an awesome week. God bless you. To walk in